There are huge benefits to be reaped by both employees and employers who work in a positive and inclusive culture. Workers in inclusive teams are 19 times more likely to be satisfied with their job, 10 times more likely to be effective in their role, 9 times more likely to innovate, and are nearly 7 times less likely to have experienced discrimination and harassment. That's the finding of the Inclusion at Work Index revealed today by the Diversity Council of Australia. But while positive outcomes such as increased productivity and staff retention are highlighted in the report, there are some statistics that are cause for concern.
The Inclusion at Work Index also shows a shocking level of workplace discrimination reported by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, with 38% of respondents experiencing harassment within the last year. I spoke to Lisa Annese, CEO of Diversity Council of Australia, and asked if she was surprised with the findings.
It's certainly true to say that we are aware that Indigenous Australians experience very high levels of discrimination and harassment in workplaces, but to actually see it in terms of how it transposes versus other diversity dimensions and to see Indigenous workers feeling excluded to such an extent, even compared to other diverse groups, was very alarming.
The high Indigenous representation was concerning. Coming up close behind them was people with disability and also people who identify as LGBTQI. Is this another example of how minority groups often are misunderstood?
I think what it reveals is that unless you deliberately set about making your workplace inclusive, you will by default exclude certain groups who don't form part of the dominant culture. You need to make some deliberate effort to be inclusive, and that without doing that, even by not meaning to discriminate, you could discriminate by default.
Lisa Annese, CEO of Diversity Council of Australia. The Diversity Council's findings reflect those reported in this year's Australian Reconciliation Barometer, which showed that in the general community, 37% of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people had experienced some form of discrimination or abuse. Karen Mundine, CEO of Reconciliation Australia, says these figures are not a surprise to her and are due to a number of factors.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people still remain the most disadvantaged groups within Australia, and there's a whole heap of history that sits behind that as well in terms of being excluded from workplaces, in terms of being excluded from social engagements and society in general. So to see that kind of play out both in society and workplaces is not that surprising.
It really tells a story of misunderstanding, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think part of that is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are a small minority of the population. And so what we find through our reconciliation action plans is that when people actually engage with people, as individuals, as work colleagues, perceptions change, stereotypes get broken down, and you actually see attitudes change in the process. But again, when you have a small percentage of the population, when you have high unemployment for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, you don't have those natural opportunities to engage.
What kind of programs or opportunities are there for workplaces to turn this around?
We find that it starts with leadership from the top. Companies that think about the policies and processes that they have about how do they make their workplaces more inclusive, specifically for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, we see a difference. So think about how do you make workplaces welcoming? How do you proactively think about employment and retention of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? What are other spheres of influence within your business that can actually engage in reconciliation, but also think about how do we change that story of disadvantage for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people?
And does it also come around to placing context around a person's cultural experience, building in that higher level of understanding and respect?
Absolutely. And taking a zero tolerance approach to discrimination within the workplace, having clear processes around what that is, but also how do you set the tone of the culture of the workplace at all levels of management? How do you create cultural safety for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? And that's kind of a punitive measure, but then if you start doing those things, you start finding more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people wanting to work in those kinds of environments. And then you create social settings where people get to know each other. And once people know each other, that when you recognise that you have the same hopes and dreams for your family and aspirations of what you want out of life, it's no longer about the other. You see similarities in each other, and there's an opportunity to learn both ways around what respect looks like and how you build those relationships.
And armed with two reports now that back up this information and talk to you about how Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people experience discrimination in the workplace, what actions will Reconciliation Australia take from here on in to further advocate for people's rights?
We'll continue with our Reconciliation Action Plan program. Our reports echo those of the diversity councils in that companies that have processes in place where they consciously think about doing things differently, they have greater and better outcomes. And I couldn't think of a better business case of why you would want to do this. It's not only for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people working within those organisations, but the whole workforce benefits out of this. So we'll continue to advocate for why this is a good thing, why reconciliation is good for business.
Karen Mundine, CEO of Reconciliation Australia, ending that report by the Wire's Sarah Martin.